50 subscribers we just added to our YouTube channel in the last 45 minutes to push us over 10,000 subscribers. Welcome. And that is not the usual intro for the show.
Well,
yet.
Well, let's just say that it comes around pretty often, though.
Once a week.
At this time.
At one segment. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Happy Friday to you. Oh, gosh, it feels like fall outside. I am obsessed with the idea of everything fall and Halloween and Thanksgiving and cool air and sweaters and fireplaces. Like, we're in our house. I replaced the screen on the screen door that hasn't been, I don't know if it's like 3 years ago, somebody walked through it.
We got one of those.
Yeah. And it's on the other side of Mount Everest of things to get fixed.
Yep.
And fall was coming. And I'm like, I want to open the door. I want to air the house out. And the screen door is such a huge part of that. I'm fixing the screen door. So my husband and I got it fixed. And it was so simple. Do you know this? Have you ever replaced a screen?
We just did the same thing.
It's so easy.
It's not hard.
I was mad at myself for having waited so long.
I know, but it's always low on the list. And ours came when our 3-year-old, who is now 7, decided one day that he was going to walk up to it. And
3-year-old, now 7.
He's now 7.
So this is a 4-year experiment.
Yeah. He was going to walk up to that screen and just start sawing it. So he stuck.
No. What did he use?
Totally innocent. One of those little Fisher Price saws.
Oh.
So he had a saw and he just found a little hole and he just pressed until it went through and then he started sawing away at it. And he's like, hey, this works. He was right. It does work. It is not meant to happen.
How recently did you replace the screen door?
Within the last 3 weeks. Not the screen door. It was a screen window.
Just the screen.
Yeah.
Window. A screen.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really simple to do. This is called procrastination. This is when you have something in front of you and it's in your brain. It's like in my brain, it's an insurmountable task. And then I've talked for years. I mean, we have gone through major holidays with my very handy relatives. My brother-in-law, who's been over, he's like, it's very simple. My dad, who's like, it's very simple. And I'm like, sure, for you guys.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Even for me.
I'm terrible with that stuff.
Who did it? You or your wife?
Handyman.
Did you hire somebody to do it?
Well, we had a list of things that we wanted done, and he saw it and said, look, I can do that real quick. And I said, go ahead.
Do you know why? Because it's so easy.
Because it's pretty easy, apparently.
Do you know how much you paid for him to redo the screen?
I know a total, so yeah. I don't know what it was
Next
in particular.
Next time, I'll do it for half.
Okay.
I'm going to get your kid a saw for Christmas. Uh-huh. I'm going to be like, just go to all the screens in your house.
I'm going to get your kids the movie Saw.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Do you watch scary movies in your house like that?
No, nothing even close. My kids won't even, I think we had this discussion about the Goonies. My kids will not even watch the Goonies because we told them there are a couple of kind of ominous parts. And they're like, nope. Not even going to go there.
I think it's important for kids to watch movies that involve moments of stress and anxiety, though. Especially when you know that there's a resolution at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to sit there for an hour and 40 minutes and get emotionally wrapped up in a story. And then depending on the age, the conclusion satisfies the anxiety to go through that arc. My 8-year-old is in the moment with the characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fully invested, looking at her like, is she okay? Is this okay? Not Saw. We're not watching Saw. We watched last night Wonka for the first time. Have you seen the new Wonka?
Yes. With Timothy Chalamet.
Is this the origin story?
Yes.
I don't know. It's the new Wonka.
Okay, I haven't seen the newest.
It's magnificent! It's such a good movie. Did you like it?
I liked the movie a lot. I didn't think he was a great Wonka, but I did like it.
Oh my gosh, he was wonderful. I thought he was wonderful. I don't like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory story. I don't like the books. I don't like the original movie. The Johnny Depp version is so bizarre that I don't think I've ever even watched the whole thing.
That is a weird movie.
I feel like I'm watching something I shouldn't be seeing. It's so weird. Hugh Grant is in this new version of Wonka.
Yes.
And is so wonderful.
Yeah, that's funny.
I'm not even going to give away the character that he plays. But the story is, the arc of the story is so good. The music is so good. It's a musical. It's beautiful. I thought I disagree with Ryan, and I think that Timothy Chalamet, is that how you say his name? He's so wonderful. Like, you just, it's an incredible story. And I only watched it because my 8-year-old asked to watch it last night. She's like, can we watch that? I had seen on Twitter from somebody who is in my Twitter feed that I follow, so whatever that means, that Wonka was a good movie. So I was like, okay, we can watch it. And I was enamored by it. But being that it was a good story, and it's just interesting to watch a child be sitting on the edge of the couch, like leaning into certain moments, and it pulls them in and it gives them the opportunity to have emotions in a pretty safe place. We talked a little bit about this earlier, I think might have been in A Wiggins America, about raising children and the way boomers raise children and the way millennials raise children and the way children are being raised today. We went through a period of time, I'd be interested to know how long you guys think the decade was, where we shielded our children from every possible thing that could happen to them to keep them from hurting or stressing or anything. Do you feel like we're still at that place right now?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as we always were, same place, same situation?
I don't know. It's tough because a lot of the way TV has changes the way we consume media. Because it used to be you just had the TV on all the time and you would flip between channels. You'd try to find something that wasn't as bad, you know, and you just kind of left it on. Now you're very picky and choosy about what you turn on and what you don't.
Well, television and movies and entertainment has gotten so politically activist that you have to do that. But I'm talking more broadly on, like, your kid is experiencing some sort of maybe some adversity at school, maybe struggling in a classroom or something like that. Like, when we, if you got in trouble, we're all raised by boomers, right? Mm-hmm. If we got in trouble, were you more afraid of what the trouble was going to be at school or the trouble that would be at home?
Oh, at home.
I think at home, probably.
Duh.
Yeah.
Like, it was way more intimidating to think about having to face the repercussions of your actions in your home than it was at school. And everything kind of turned on its head at one point. And now you've got, like, the helicopter parents, the bulldozer parents, the lawnmower parents. I don't even remember the distinction between all the different names that we've given them. Where if your child does something to get in trouble at school, that parent is going to go in and railroad every single person they have the opportunity to railroad to make sure that everybody understands that you don't treat my child this way.
Yeah.
That's how you get brats.
Yeah, that's still a problem. So that's why I say I think we're still in that era. Here's the change, though. Within the last few years, we've started talking about that being a problem more, too. So while it's not solved, I think there are more people aware that they could slip into that, and they're guarding themselves against it a little bit more, but it's still there.
Yeah, I've noticed we are getting better, but I've noticed that with the kids that, like, there's almost a sense of anxiousness about failure. They're so worried that something will go wrong because they've never had anything go wrong in their life up to that point. They don't know where they are as far as, oh, I can get through this. Some things don't always go my way. I can't always have somebody come and fix this. They miss out on that aspect of their life. I think we're getting better. To Annie's point, I think we're moving in the right direction. But I do think that there are still parents out there that are just trying to shield their kid from any sort of negative experience whatsoever.
Let me ask you this. Based on the comment you made about watching a movie and, you know, experiencing the stress, the anxiety of, oh, things aren't right, through to the resolution, there's a lot of discussion about that right now, about storytelling. And one of the shows that experts have said is really good, especially for little kids, is Daniel Tiger, because they're pretty short, but you get conflict resolution all within about 13 minutes or something like that. And they say it's really good to go through that. Random question, but do you think before we, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, we didn't have movies. We didn't have any of this stuff. We had books, so it's not as if you didn't have storytelling, but we watch a movie and you get instant resolution. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is contributed to our lack of ability to go through things? Because when you go through conflict, you do not get instant resolution. You have to sit in it for a while, a lot of times, and sometimes you never get resolution at all. Do you think that we have made ourselves almost as a species need conflict resolution quicker because we're used to seeing it quicker now.
No, I think that if you're in conflict and you're not internally compelled to prefer resolution, then you're a sociopath.
I'd agree with that.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, you could be like, well, yeah, I want a resolution, and if they do X, Y, and Z, we'll be resolved. You know, I've experienced people in my lifetime that are confronted with new facts. Maybe they misunderstood something from the beginning, been confronted with new facts, and they're unbothered by it. Admitting that maybe the path that you were on has now taken a turn because you have new information and you have a more clarity as to the full circumstances of whatever that conflict might be. And they're more interested in being consistent on having been right than they are in just what's real and what's true. I think that's what we see with Donald Trump completely right now, is there are so many people who have been led to believe a particular thing about Donald Trump. And because Donald Trump is a haughty person, he is a massive ego, which if you said that to him, he wouldn't be offended by that. He would be like, yes, that's who I am. Part of the Tyrus interview that he did for OutKick, which is where Tyrus was yesterday when he would traditionally be doing our show, he was interviewing the president. Tyrus goes through all of these incredibly kind and generous things that Donald Trump has done for people. Writing fat checks, sending planes to places, highlighting causes that are important to the people who are important to him. All of these things that Donald Trump has done, then he doesn't brag about it. And Tyrus's point to him is like, why aren't people talking about this? And he goes, I don't need praise for it. Donald Trump legitimately doesn't need the affirmation of praise to feel good about doing good things for people. But there are also people in the world who don't need affirmation to feel good inside about being committed to whatever their direction is, regardless of new information, old information coming together to say, like, all right, you intended to be doing the right thing, but now that you have more information, it turns out now you have a fuller picture. Does that change the way you think about anything at all? And with Donald Trump, you can tell the people who are like, you know what, it actually kind of does. I don't find myself in love with this man. I'm not at the, you know, worshiping at the orange man's feet, but I don't think that the perspective I had on him before is accurate. And I'm kind of ticked that people work so hard to make me feel as though this reality that I was living in was an actual true reality. People feel deceived. So I think that there's this emotion of resolution that exists in people, but it's more of an internal thing. You just have to like reconcile what you know to be true. I think that relationship conflict is very difficult because it's often based on an understanding of perspective, where any truth can have multiple perspectives. You don't have multiple truths. There is one truth, but where and how you see that truth and consume that truth, it's important for the person on the other side of the issue, the conflict, the discrepancy, whatever, to understand that there is a reason why that truth might look a certain way to somebody else than it does to you. But what is still the element that is true and real, that's what you have to kind of agree to. And we don't live right now in a society where, you know, some people would say that like your truth and my truth can coexist. That is a way of saying what I'm saying, but you can't take out the element that there is only one truth. We need to replace the my truth and your truth with my perspective and your perspective. If I grow up in a super wealthy family where everything has always been provided to me and I've never had to want for anything, and I'm talking to somebody who's grown up in abject poverty as an orphan or a single parent home, and you know, I didn't graduate high school, I dropped out because I had to take care of my siblings or whatever it might be, we're not going to see the world the same, ever. But the goal is that in a country like that we live in right now, that both of those people would have opportunity to make the next thing that happens to them, to make the most of that no matter what. And that we don't have roadblocks that keep people from being able to achieve success if they want to pursue that success. I think that conflict resolution is something, it's not that we want it too much. I think we actually don't want it at all. We're just okay with being right in our own minds and not really caring that the other person has no sense of agreement with it. Like, we can justify ourselves so quickly and easily and just assume that everybody else is wrong. And yeah. I put myself in the same category.
I mean, human beings, we all do that to an extent. I think it takes a certain level of, not intelligence, but emotional maturity to be able to take in new information and adjust your positions on things. That is not an easy thing to do. We are not prone to do that as people. But if you can get there emotionally and say, you know what, I'm secure. Really, that's what it is. Am I secure enough to take in information and then adjust to that information to make sure that I'm believing in what's real and true? And I, to your point about Donald Trump, people are going to disagree. I understand that. That's why we have elections. But this guy was president for 4 years. Some of the things that you attribute to him, I'm not saying it's impossible that he could do things differently a little bit in the second term, but some of the boogeyman stuff that people attach to him is so ridiculous based on what he did as president through policy for four years, 2 years he had full Congress. You know, it's not as if, well, he wasn't able to do anything. He had a Republican Congress for 2 years. It's just amazing to me what people will believe when you just emotionally want to.
Yeah. And you know, I've talked about this too, but like you can't be all or nothing. Everything is, there's subjectivity in everything. With Donald Trump, he's not the greatest American who has ever Americaned. That's not what he is. He is fallible. There are things about him that are broken. But find me the person who isn't. Like, I don't know why his brokenness, especially in the world of politicians, why his brokenness somehow sets him apart. Specifically, we've talked a lot about this, where Christians and their struggle over who they're going to vote for, if they're going to vote. You know, if I pivot to Kamala Harris and I'm like, do you think she's a perfect person? I don't really want to go into the details as to why she's not a perfect person, because I don't think that those things are what I'm voting on or against. I hate her policies. I think they'll destroy the country. And if you hate Donald Trump's policies and you think they'll destroy the country, then you don't vote for him. But most people are voting against Donald Trump because they think he's something that he's just not. And new information pushes you in a direction to say, you know, maybe this isn't as I pictured it before. I think it's freeing to embrace that and to be able to open your mind to something like that and to shift your thought and have a more informed opinion as to why you're going to vote one way or the other. I feel like people are doing that now more than they were before.
I do too.
I don't know if it's like a massive wave of people, but it's definitely more than, like, what has been established in Trumpian world has shifted, I would say, a little bit. We could talk more about it on the other side, along with the YouTube live chat poll today. Is Donald Trump funny? Yes or no? We've got 355 votes in so far. We want your vote. What are people saying? Well, Dirk said, I chose yes. Trump can be funny even when he doesn't intend to be funny. Melissa said, I just got done watching Trump. Oh, man, that was hysterical. I can't wait to watch it again with my husband tonight. Andy said, Trump isn't just funny. He's a trigger for funny. Remember when in a debate he said, there are some bad hombres, and everybody on Twitter started tweeting pictures of people with bad hombre haircuts? Yeah, there's a lot of comments coming in. We want to feature yours next. Get us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Stream us on the Odyssey app. And keep it right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So the YouTube live chat poll for today, is Donald Trump funny? Yes or no? Get us your thoughts and comments. Kurt says, yes, he's the most entertaining president candidate since Reagan. Edward said, you guys know I'm on the left, and I even think Trump is funny. In fact, I think it's one of the reasons he has as much support as he does. That's an interesting take. Thank you, Edward. Jack said, I voted yes. Donald Trump is a hoot. You let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and we will continue to cover your comments and give you the results of that poll here in about 20 minutes from now. So stick around for that. Here is an article I came across, and we'll see what you guys think about this here. When we think of ourselves, do you think of yourself as a child of the 80s, the 90s, the aughts? What do you think of yourself as?
That's a good question. I would say a child of the 90s because I was a teenager and
formidable years, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You were born in 82?
81.
81?
I was born in 83, so like 89 I was in kindergarten, so I'm a child of the 90s.
Yeah, that's the way. I'm an 84 baby, and I would say
I actually remember a lot of the 80s, though. So.
I remember things from the 80s, songs, colors.
Learning colors.
Lots of color. No, just it was very colorful.
Oh, colorful. Neon.
Yes.
I remember.
Electric blue. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Crazy. At the very end of the 80s, you know, I would have been 9 or 8 or whatever it was. That would have been 9. I remember VH1 and MTV running like, oh, this was the best of the decade. And I was like, oh, wow, I've lived almost a decade, and I've seen a lot of these. The first time I was realizing that I was a part of culture.
Yeah.
At that moment.
Well, and then you found funny t-shirts.
Oh, man, that was a few years later, and I really pioneered that. I went ahead of the game, and then people started doing it because they saw me doing it.
I really think you could have done it sooner.
Oh, I do too. But, you know, you got to put your finger in the wind every now and then and pick up on what's happening.
18 snacks from the 90s and the aughts that you might not put in your kids' lunch today. I was looking through this a couple of nights ago, and I thought, I remember most of these. I don't remember all of them, and I don't know. You're a snack expert.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for this.
Have you always been a snack expert?
As much as my parents would allow. Yeah, as a kid, they would not let me just eat whatever I wanted, which is really to their credit.
How was the range pantry growing up? Did you have full of snacks?
No, we didn't have my mom would not let us have the sugary snacks. I remember going to the grocery store begging.
What was the name of the friend who had the pantry?
Mikey.
Yes?
Yeah, next door, they would just eat a box of fruit snacks sometimes. I'm like, what the heck? You can do that?
Ironically enough, Ryan. But not this Ryan.
Not this Ryan. All right, 18 snacks from the 90s and the aughts you might not put in your kids' lunch today. The first one is, do you remember Kudos bars?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They got so small.
It's not about the size. M&Ms.
I remember those.
Kudos bars. Real milk chocolate. 100 calories.
Yeah, because they were the size of my pinky finger. Those things were like bite-sized by the time they quit making them.
Ryan, you are obsessed with size.
Well, there's reason for that. But yeah.
It's preoccupation?
Oh, no. It's...
Talk your way out of it. I don't know why you'd be thinking about it all the time.
I want everything quantity
with you,
for my money.
Everything is, yeah, but some people prefer quality.
I want quantity.
Yes, I
agree
with that.
I want it big. I want it bold.
Parents.com says Kudos bars are really just candy bars masquerading as granola bars.
Agreed.
Often covered with M&Ms or Snickers bits. This is how we were raised. It's like, here, have a granola bar.
Yeah.
It's granola. It's healthy.
Yeah.
It's covered in chocolate and M&Ms and Snickers.
Right. California.
And we were like, okay. Yeah. Did you know Kudos bars were discontinued in 2017?
I did not.
I know.
But I haven't seen them, so it makes sense.
Surge.
Oh yeah. Surge. I was not allowed to drink a lot of Surge, but man, I remember when you'd be at a party, and
it's
I'm talking
like
about
the cocaine
12,
of yeah. middle school.
Yes, exactly. like 12-year-olds all going like, oh, wait till after the birthday cake.
Yeah.
Wait till you see what I got.
When we go down in the basement, start watching movies, and our parents go to sleep, we're going to get the Surge.
We're going to get Surge. We used to, this is before
it
iPhones.
It was good. I liked Surge.
I did too. It was pretty good. It wasn't it similar to Mountain Dew?
I think it was more it was more maybe citrusy than Mountain Dew. I think it had a little more of, I don't know if it was grapefruit or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just like something that was a little bit different.
Yeah. I remember being around that age and Joe Hawkins' birthday party.
Joe Hawkins.
He's going to have Surge and he's going to have disposable cameras. So we're going to take pictures of ourselves dunking on like a 6-foot rim. But everybody's sitting down looking up Oh my gosh.
I remember my friend.
Such a boy thing to do.
Yeah.
We did that.
Brenton, he was a year younger than me in sixth grade, he'd get a 24 cube. Surge was sold in the cube.
Really?
And he'd sell those Surges after class.
That's smart.
That's a Surge dealer.
I tried doing that with bracelets once and I realized the margin was not big enough.
What about Squeeze-Its and Kool-Aid Bursts?
I
remember Squeeze-Its. I don't remember getting them a lot. Kool-Aid Bursts were, that was like the little plastic ones.
I got the image up there.
Kool-Aid Bursts. Yeah, those were good.
Kool-Aid was such a big, formidable part of our youth.
Yeah. Where'd that go?
The bluish teal kind.
Was good.
I could taste that if I think about it long enough. I would like to try that again. And I don't think that our family ever got the add sugar kind. I think we always got the sugar-free.
Man, I think drinking those now, you just feel guilty. Because you know there's no redeeming quality to this.
Speaking of, Fruitopia.
Fruitopia was good. Yeah, that was pretty good stuff.
Fruitopia was like the Kool-Aid for hippies.
Yeah.
It was
the same thing.
Psychedelic
thing. Just
Kool-Aid.
A different label on it. Exactly. Fruitopia.
But it had fruit in it.
No, it did not have fruit in it.
Had it in the name.
Our school had a Fruitopia vending machine.
Uh-huh.
At the cafeteria.
It's a Coca-Cola product.
Yep.
Parent says, did your school have a Fruitopia vending machine?
Wow.
Coca-Cola and Minute Maid introduced their fruit-flavored beverage in the early 90s, and colorful concoctions were popular among young people who considered Fruitopia a, quote, healthier alternative to soda.
Yeah,
that wasn't
healthier.
Really the case, as the drink was just as sugary as a bottle of Coke or Mountain Dew. Fruitopia folded in 2003.
But it didn't have the Kool-Aid, man, and it would say things like strawberry kiwi. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah, fruit.
That's fruity.
Yeah. Easy squirt ketchup. Do you remember different colored ketchup?
Yes.
I can't think of anything more repulsive to me than that.
The green ketchup.
That
no,
did not last
terrible.
Long.
No bueno.
I don't think we ever got that because it probably costed an extra 25 cents.
They debuted in 2000 and didn't last long, probably because, well, squirting purple ketchup on your fries, chicken strips is kind of gross. Hi-C Ecto Cooler. This is
I
one that I don't.
This one would
I
be on there.
I don't remember this one. You both do?
Oh yeah.
I remember it. I never got it. This was one of those things that certain kids got.
Yes.
And
they
thought
cool?
It was unbelievable. The Ecto Cooler was based on Ghostbusters. And it went for 2 decades after Ghostbusters. I have no idea why.
It kind of came out when that real Ghostbusters cartoon came out.
Yeah.
And I remember wanting it. My parents saying you can't have it. There's too much sugar in that. And then doing everything that I could, trading most of my lunch away to a friend at lunch to try to get one. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't.
I remember in 1994 or something, walking through a grocery store and thinking, they're still trying to sell Slimer? this isn't a cool character anymore. But yeah, I guess everything comes back around.
I just said I watched Ghostbusters for the first time this past weekend. I think it was Monday, maybe, with our kids. And it was just too slow for me.
Wow.
I couldn't do it. Oreos O's cereals, like Cheerios, Oreo O's.
I don't remember that, but I'd eat that right now.
I know you would.
I remember those. I remember asking for those. My mom's like, no, you get Cheerios.
Cheerios may not be healthier. Oreos are another triumphant comeback story. They were introduced in 1997, were literally Oreos masquerading as breakfast cereal. People wonder why millennials have such weight problems. Oreo O's were first discontinued in 2007 when Post and Kraft split, but the cereal came back in 2017. Philadelphia snack bars. Do you remember this? When I read this, I'm like, I do remember that kind of rage. Delicious cheesecake bars made with a graham cracker crust, moist cream cheese, and a fruity filling were so beloved that there's currently a change.org petition to bring them back.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Hubba Bubba Bubble Jug?
Yeah, I didn't like gum very much, though, so never was into that.
It was powdered?
I don't know. Was it?
Yeah.
Did you have to make a concoction out of it?
Tom says this was just a mess. Why are we making gum out of flakes? Whose parents okayed this? This innovative candy was discontinued in the 2000s, but did make a comeback this past spring at select retailers.
No, no memory of this.
Shake and chug, it says.
You drink it? Oh, is it a drink?
No, it's not a drink. It's bubble gum, but it's like dust and flakes, and you pour it, and then you just start chewing, and it becomes gum.
That sounds bad.
Terrible idea. Trix yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
This stuff was good. I wish this was still around, because it is...
healthy?
Barely yogurt.
Many millennials have a soft spot for the brightly colored and delicious Trix yogurt, but was an elite option for lunch or a snack. The fruity yogurt was discontinued but briefly returned to shelves in 2021.
Yeah, Trix yogurt, that's the kind of stuff, that's the problem.
It's made by Yoplait.
It's why I can't really eat regular yogurt now, because I got addicted to the stuff that's basically candy.
When I die, I'll hand you a Greek yogurt in your refrigerator.
And I'll slap it down and be like, get out of here, Annie Ghost.
I'll just hand you another one.
Dang it.
Swoops.
Persistent.
This made me laugh. I forgot about this. It's like Pringles, but made of Reese's chocolate.
I do remember
Swoops
these.
Swoops were a fusion of Pringles-style chips and chocolate bars launched by Hershey's. They weren't technically chips, but they were shaped like them.
Yeah, they were just chocolate.
I don't know why they needed to be chips. That's a lateral move on the health scale.
There was no chip, no potato in it at all.
Reese's was the most popular for obvious reasons, but they were also available in milk chocolate, York's, peppermint patty, and almond joy. Swoops debuted in 2003 and were gone by 2006. Keebler's Pizzerias?
Oh, this was like the lunch. Was it the Lunchables pizzas?
Didn't
type
last
thing?
Long, but their fans still miss them. As their name suggests, they were chips that tasted like pizza and were actually made from pizza dough. The zesty pepperoni flavor was bright red, so it wasn't safe to eat on the couch.
I don't remember those.
Disappeared in the late 90s. 3D Doritos.
Oh, yeah. 3D Doritos.
You remember the commercials?
So
I remember the Super Bowl commercials that featured them. And the 3D Doritos were just flying all over the place. And so you'd get them, and then kids would just be throwing them all over the place. So stupid.
I just remember thinking, wow, there's like space in these chips.
Mom,
I was so tired of 2D chips.
Yeah. This is next level stuff.
Thankfully, now there's 3D chips.
3D Doritos were actually back on shelves, but many grown-up millennials mourn the OG tube version, which was discontinued in 2004. You could eat Doritos without getting nacho cheese fingers. Sadly, nothing gold can stay. Waffle Crisp.
I remember
cereal.
These. Yep.
Cereal.
I remember this.
You could have a waffle for breakfast, or you could have an entire bowl of waffles instead. Waffle Crisp, introduced in 1996, was a maple syrupy cereal from Post. You may remember those secret recipe commercials where kids try to figure out what was in Waffle Crisp to make it so good. Yeah, RFK Jr. knows. The cereal held on much longer than many items on this list. Finally discontinued in 2018, along with Rice Krispie Treats cereal.
I remember that, too.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Not good for you.
Why don't they do this more? In fact, full-size Rice Krispie Treats in a bowl.
Just put them in a bowl.
Just give me that.
Dump some milk
over. Or you could just eat a Rice Krispie Treat and have a glass of milk.
Or they could put it in a bowl for me.
It's like the full-size shredded wheat. You just got to break it.
We've talked about these before on the show. Juice barrels, a.k.a. Little Hug.
Ugh, those are so gross.
I'm glad you said this.
Yeah. I hate
this
those
This is something
things.
I expect you to like.
No, this is like the
they taste like the
demented
color.
Cousin of Kool-Aid.
This is what red tastes like.
Yeah, it's nothing. Plus, trying to rip open those tops, you always
spilled
it.
To do with your
it.
Teeth.
Is that what you did?
And then it would hurt.
Yeah, didn't like.
Snackwells. Do you remember Snackwell cookies?
Oh, yeah, Devil's Food Cookies.
Uh-huh.
That had the cream in them.
Snackwells were hugely popular in the diet culture of the 90s as a fat-free dessert option. Low-fat and fat-free diets were all the rage. Of course, those cookies and cakes were still high in carbs and sugar, and their popularity waned from there. Brand finally dissolved in 2022.
Yeah, I don't eat anything with fat, and I don't gain fat. I'm super skinny.
Do not seek out Ryan Wiggins for your diet advice. Last one was Orbitz, a drink with balls in it. What were we thinking in the 90s? Orbitz was the brainchild of the company that gave us Clearly Canadian. Do you remember Clearly Canadian?
I remember Clearly Canadian.
We had that in our fridge. Blue glass bottles, maybe?
Orbitz, I think I liked. I think that was a phase that I went through that I'm still kind of going through where I'm like, this doesn't even have balls. Anything I eat. Or drink.
Is she going through that phase, are you?
Like, I still need balls in this. Like boba tea. That's why I drink so much boba tea. Because it's got tons of balls. Tapioca. Just little balls. You just suck them up. As you're drinking, you're like, oh man, there's a solid in there. Let's go ahead and go to break. We'll be right back with more Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we're over 10,000 subscribers, and we made a commitment to you that should we beat 10,000 subscribers before Halloween, we will don some costumes, at least at minimum in the 2 o'clock hour of the Halloween show, which should be a week from yesterday. No, 2 weeks from yesterday. There's a whole week in October I always forget about.
Mm-hmm. All those costumes, you will don them, I will Kamala them. Little joke. Republicans!
The question now is, so what we had said we would do is we're going to go to Johnny Brock's. I've been given the link to Johnny Brock's from Trisha, because she's the one who's been talking to them. And let me see, let me pull it up here. She sent it to us, and it is the Shop Johnny Brock's website. So you could tweet us suggestions, because what we said was Ryan and I will pick out Brad's costume. Brad and I will pick out Ryan's costume. Ryan and Brad will pick out my costume. So should people go on to Johnny Brock's website and maybe make some suggestions?
1,000%.
Yeah, I think probably 1,001%.
Yeah, tag us all in it.
Ender says Big Deborah.
Ryan should dress up as Kamala. Somebody says Ryan is Little Debbie. Other people is Ryan Big Debbie.
Big Deborah.
Big Deborah. I would do that. How much, if you could somehow do Big Deborah.
How much, probably we can't. How much do you enjoy dressing up for Halloween or for costume parties or whatever?
Oh,
zero
gosh.
To 10, 10 being favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Yeah, I put it at a 1. I can't stand it. It's so annoying. But I know people love it. And when people do dress up and really go all out, I actually appreciate it. Because you go, man, that took a lot of work and it's a good costume. Now, I don't ever do a good costume. Mine is always about half anus. I won't say the word.
I was like, did I hear that? That's a new word for me, and I got to wash it out of my ears right now.
Yeah, it's probably grosser to say that than the actual one. But I never really go all out. So, you know, this year, I mean, whatever it is, it's not up to me. So that's why I'll go along with it.
You, Bren?
I don't know, maybe a 4. Like, if the costume's good, I'm excited about it. If not, I'm not.
Where would you guys put me at?
You're a 0.
I was going to say, yeah. What's the lowest
There's
we can go?
There's a lower number than 0.
Mm-hmm. Back it
Here
off
I
a little
am.
Bit.
I'm not into it. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable how much other people like doing it. I'm just so introverted about it. Like, I know that this is a time of year that people live for. Costume parties. You have mm-hmm. a big deal about it. I do not want to do that. And then I see people who come up with these really clever couple costumes and stuff, and I'm still like, I do not want to do that.
Yeah, the ones I'm seeing this year are where you have like a person standing up above your shoulders and your head looks like it's being carried mm-hmm. by a person.
By a plate or
yeah,
a plate
or whatever
like
it is. Those are cool.
Should we do, we'll need your feedback at Annie Fry Show on X, at Radio Wiggins, at Range Brad. Suggestions. Should we just do 3 individual ones? Should we try to make each other look as ridiculous as possible? Should we try to look as great as, because you can take these, you can take a costume into any given direction that you want to go. Should we do a group costume? There was the year that we were the Trumps and the Lincolns.
Mm-hmm.
I was Abe. Mm-hmm. You, Ryan.
Mary. Brad was Melania.
Ryan was Mary Todd.
The video we have, I'm going to have to find it for next week, the next 2 weeks, of where you are off camera. When we put you on camera as Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
You looked as
so
happy
sad.
As she was.
I was a sad Mary Todd Lincoln.
Did I think I asked you a question about your children. You crumbled.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, man. Well, we need your suggestions. Thank you to everybody who subscribes to us on YouTube. If you haven't yet, Annie Fry YouTube channel. Next up, 100,000. We got a minute before we get there. But a reminder, you can always stream us on the Odyssey app. If YouTube's not your thing, AUDACY, download that app. Follow 97.1 FM Talk. You can stream my show and leave it right there because the Mark Reardon show's coming on next. And you take us everywhere you go. Crystal clear. The YouTube live chat poll for today is Donald Trump funny? With 385 votes, 90% of you said, yes, he's funny. Thank you for participating in that today. Check out the podcast. And do not go away, because the Mark Reardon Show is coming up next. Do you want from me? I'm not a Mary the Sweet.